Hello, everybody, and welcome to Challenge History. Apparently, my old computer is not working well either. So, anyway, welcome to Challenge History. We're the only show where we speak to the souls that made things happen. We're brought to you every Sunday night on the Pararex Network. I'm Barry Strom, your host, and I'll be doing the channeling, hopefully.
I'm Connie Strom, your co-host, and I will be asking the questions of our spirit guests this evening. Tonight, we will be speaking with the spirits of Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev. Their relationship was instrumental in bringing an end to the Cold War with the Soviet Union. We will be discussing the events that surrounded their relationship and what is happening currently in Russia. This should be a very memorable show.
Okay, we never know in advance what our spirits are going to say, so it's always prudent to include a disclaimer. The opinions or statements voiced on our show are the channeled words of the spirits and do not necessarily reflect our opinions, those of the Pararex Network, or of our sponsors.
I'd like to thank all of you that take the time to listen to our show and even to join us in the chat room. Your questions are always appreciated, and I always attempt to get in as many as I can. Please tell your friends about us so we can continue to grow our audience.
Okay, before we channel, we always say a prayer of protection. This prayer was given to us by the spirit guides when we first began to communicate with them on using our channeling board. Connie will now say the prayer, and we'll begin to channel with Ronald Reagan and Mikhail Gorbachev.
God, please grant us your wisdom and protection. Grant us the knowledge that we can handle and keep us safe from all things that will harm us. Keep the messages positive and pure love. Keep us safe from our egos. We ask these things in the light of the seen, the unseen, and the honesty of God.
Okay, we're going to be doing a little bit of a different format tonight. We'll begin by asking Secretary Gorbachev 12 questions, and then we'll ask President Reagan the same number. And after that, we will have some discussion questions, and we will let both of our guests speak to the questions. So we have got a great show. Connie, let's begin with our spirit guests.
Okay, welcome, gentlemen. We're so happy to have you. Secretary Gorbachev, would you like to begin with a message?
Yes, I would. I know that there are many people in the United States that look at me unfavorably. There are many that never got to know me, really. The Soviet Union was a terrible place. I grew up in it. Stalin was a terrible, terrible dictator. He would kill, he would take lives, he would torture, he would do anything he needed to protect his own powers. I felt that it would be that if our country was going to advance, that serious changes had to be made in it, in the governing. I realized communism was not the answer. I used the system, I gained power through it, and when I became General Secretary, I tried to do the best I could to bring reforms, to build relationships with the other major countries of the world. I did my best. Sadly, the Russian people have been mistreated for so long that they don't truly understand what is taking place around them in the world. Sadly, things have taken place since Putin has become the powerful. The people of Russia are very, very good people. I would like everyone to understand that. The government of Russia is terrible. Government has stolen from the people. They've taken money from them. They've taxed them. They've used it for their own, the governing bodies have used it for their own pleasure. I wish that I was a young man again, but I must admit it's nice to be over here where all of the pressures of human life that I lived with are not a part of a daily scheme. Of course, we don't even have daily schemes over here. I haven't been here that long, so I'm doing a lot of adapting. The guides have helped me to do this tonight. and I thank you for inviting me. So I know you have questions.
Yes, you became General Secretary of the Soviet Union in March of 1985, when Chernenko died after serving as secretary for only 1 year. Did he die of natural death?
Chernenko had a little bit of help in his passing. It was a time where there were many people that were trying to gain power. It was a time that you really had to look over your shoulder. So it is quite possible that Chernenko did have a little bit of help in his passing.
What changes did you attempt to make for the Soviet economy when you became secretary?
I tried to introduce some general economic policies that would work. I tried to become more open to the wills of the people. We tried to introduce double chambers, similar to the United States, where people would actually be elected through honest elections. I immediately approached President Reagan and told him my fault that we should talk about the future. I knew that the Cold War had drained Russia. The country had been spending so much money on nuclear weapons, on military, that we were practically bankrupt. I wanted to try to bring in situations where the people could actually prosper. I wanted to bring in businesses from around the world. Actually, I was trying to emulate the United States and their democracy. I knew that it was going to be very, very difficult. I knew there were many hardliners that wanted communism because they had been able to take advantage of it. In communism, some of the people become very rich, and the vast majority stay very, very poor. It's not a system that truly works. I wanted to get away from it. I wanted to do what I could for the people of the Soviet Union. I wanted the people to prosper. And simply, I wanted Russia to become one of the nations that were not a pariah in the world. I knew that the Cold War had taken a terrible toll. I just simply wanted Russia to become a normal nation like the rest.
You initiated a policy of glasnost, or openness. What were you trying to accomplish with that?
I was trying to let the people understand what was taking place in the government. The communist government was highly secretive. They had secret police. They had members of the military in plain clothes that were spying on the individuals. Under the Soviet Union, the people had very, very little power. I wanted them to understand that they could participate in government. I wanted them to think that, or to understand, that what they wanted and what they needed would make it possible to have a political system where they understood what was happening, where people would not be punished for the things that they said. Just simply an openness, a freedom of speech. I wanted people to be able to practice religions without fear of repression. I just wanted the people to enjoy many of the rights that other nations in the world were enjoying.
What was your opinion of the Russian legacy of Stalinist totalitarian rule?
Stalin was a pure dictator. He was cruel. He allowed millions of people to starve to death. He would do anything that he could in order to preserve his own power. Stalin and totalitarian rule could never last far into the future. It was very important in my mind that people became involved in government. I thought that that would be the only way that Russia could truly prosper and truly join the world of democratic nations.
Okay, you've sort of answered this question, but you might have more to add to it. So why did you think Russia required such radical changes?
It was the only way that they could exist. It was the only way that they could have a long-term possibility of being equals to the other nations of the strong nations of the world. The United States at the time had this incredibly strong economy. They'd come through a recession. They were taking steps to renew their economic strength that they had lost. But in spite of the weaknesses of the American democracy, they were still incredibly strong and they were capable of meeting any challenges in the world at the time. I wanted Russia to be able to have the same economic strength. I wanted the people to be happy. And I wanted many changes.
You truly loved your fellow citizens. How were your new policies received by those individuals that had to relinquish control of the economic and military control of the country?
Not very well. My changes, we tried to make our changes, we tried to do many things, but there was always somebody that was plotting against us. It worked for a while, but by 1991, they had gained in strength. They had actually attempted to take over the government and succeeded. And while they still wanted some policies to change. They wanted still to have a government where they retained their powers.
In general, how were you able to succeed in such major changes?
I had to be very public. I had to be public in the world, and I had to try to bring other world leaders to understand what I was attempting to do. I knew that only through being very public, by being open to the world and trying to get the world to back some of my policies, that it would make it more difficult for the Leninists, Marxists, to overcome what I was attempting to do.
How did the Chernobyl disaster affect your policies?
Chernobyl was terrible. I realized that we were very backward in many of our nuclear policies. In the race to have nuclear power, nuclear weapons, we had overlooked much of the safety features that were needed. I felt that we needed technology from other areas of the world, and we could not gain those technologies while being engaged in the Cold War. Chernobyl definitely had a big effect on me.
Why did you oversee the end of the Cold War?
I knew it had to end. I knew that we couldn't win. I knew that the other world powers had an incredible amount of nuclear weapons. I realized that isolation of Russia was a terrible thing for the people. It was only through opening the doors of trade to the rest of the world that Russia could prosper.
In August 1991, the Marxist-Leninists launched a coup against you, and at that point you resigned. Could you tell us what took place?
They had gained the support of some of the military people. They wanted to use publicity to undermine what I was doing. They were telling the people that I was trying to ruin Russia. They actually arrested me, and I was in jail for a while. So I knew that there was going to be no other answer. So by August, I'd resigned my post as secretary.
Boris Yeltsin turned back the coup, but consolidated his own political authority. What is your opinion of Yeltsin?
Yeltsin had his problems, but he did attempt to make some policy changes, and he had the ability to renew the Cold War, to close off Russia once again. He understood that we had to deal with the rest of the nations in peace. There were many things that Yeltsin did not do properly, in my opinion, and I disagreed with many of his policies, but at least he did not renew the Cold War.
Okay, by 2000, Vladimir Putin became the president, the prime minister. What was your opinion of Putin at the time he became prime minister?
I was very worried. Of course, at that point, I was out of the political world and had no powers. I understood that Putin was a very power-hungry individual and he had a huge ego. He had come from the KGB, which was not a good background for freedom of the people. At first, I thought he would be okay, but I could see right away that he was reverting to authoritarianism. I had a bad opinion of him, and as you know, I was correct.
You definitely were. Let's check with President Reagan on a few things. President Reagan, would you like to begin with a message?
Absolutely. I would like to begin by saying how great I thought that Secretary Gorbachev was in showing an ability to negotiate, in showing an ability to change the Soviet Union, to show an ability to actually attempt to move towards a democratic type of government. He was an individual of great strength. He was speaking great change. He had many, many problems he had to face. There was much criticism. There were many very powerful people in the Soviet Union did not want him to do anything. They wanted to continue the Cold War because they were prospering by it. They cared less about the people. He was a wonderful individual for the time. He did his best. He actually did open up the Soviet Union. He allowed businesses to come in. He laid the foundation. He laid a foundation that if the individuals that followed him would have followed his advice, Russia today would be a very, very strong country. They would have a major economy. There would be many things. When individuals came in that took over and once again used their powers for personal gain, Russia regressed. There's no doubt about that. They regressed to a point that you can see what is taking place in the modern world. Mikhail Gorbachev was a true leader. He was a true person of peace. He was sent back by God to help the Russian people. He tried to do his best, and in many ways, he was incredibly successful. So I'm very proud to say that Mikhail Gorbachev was a friend of mine in life. And we are still spending much time together over here. I hope that people will look at him with what he accomplished. Historically, he is a very, very important person. Without him, I'm not sure how the Cold War could have ended.
Okay. Prior to you taking office in January of 1981, the Soviets had invaded Afghanistan, causing President Carter to withdraw from the Strategic Arms Limitation Treaty, boycott the 1980 Olympic Games in Moscow, and ban U.S. grain sales. What were your opinions concerning Russia when you took office?
I I thought that Russia was out of control. I felt that we had to take very strong actions to stop what they were doing. I felt that Russia was going to use their nuclear weapons if they got the opportunity. I thought that Russia was extremely dangerous and the greatest risk to our country. I did many things when I came in. I felt that the Carter administration had done very little. I thought that they were showing weakness, and I thought that Russia was taking advantage of that weaknesses. Our military was not getting the funding that it needed. There were many things that were wrong. Russia was very secretive. Although we were getting information that things were not as strong internally as they wanted to show the world, I felt that they had the ability to create havoc and perhaps another world war. So I feared Russia when I came in, and I knew that we had to show strength. Traditionally, Russia only respects strength. That was the way when I was in office, and that is the way it is now.
Indeed. Did you think there was any chance to normalize relations with the Soviet Union when you took office?
I was very doubtful. I referred to them as the evil empire. I strengthened our military. I did much to let them know that if they attempted any type of military action, that we would respond with all of our power. I thought that the best we could do was to obtain a stalemate. Once Secretary Gorbachev came in, I realized that there was an opportunity in front of us. But his predecessors gave us no hint.
Did you take any other steps to restore the U.S. strength and strategic imbalances?
I attempted to strengthen NATO. I strengthened our military. I got funding. I did many, as much as I thought I could, to ensure the concept to Russia that the worst thing that they could ever do was to start a military strike against us. I made sure that our secretaries of state let them know exactly how we would respond. I wanted to be able to negotiate from a position of strength, and it is something that I accomplished.
What steps did you take to mediate the tensions?
I immediately tried to make contact with high officials of the government. I let our Secretary of State hold conversations with their top officials. I let them know that I was willing to negotiate reduction of nuclear weapons. I made sure that we had open communications. I thought that only by talking with them would we have a chance to bring peace in the world. I'd let it be known to their government that I would be willing to discuss any major issues that would help moderate tensions among us.
Yeah. How did you respond when the Soviets declared martial law in Poland in December of 1981?
That was how they tested me. They knew that Carter would simply go to minimal means for whatever they did. I reacted very strongly. I put embargoes back on grain. I did as much as I could to get the other countries to bring embargoes against the Soviet Union. I let them know that I resented what they were doing. I tried to react to them as strongly as I could, because as I said, if you show weakness to the Soviet Union, they will take advantage of it.
Yes. How would you describe your relations with the Soviet Union during your first term?
Very tense. As if you followed any of the history, you know that I called them the evil empire. I told them that they were the most evil country in the world. I told them that communism was not going to work. I strengthened my army. And the coup de grâce was I started the concept of Star Wars. I wanted them to know that we would be, at some time in the very near future, be able to defend ourselves against their missiles. While they had good technicians and good technology on their side, they didn't have the ability to come up with the type of technological change that I wanted our military to do. So I tried to react to them with total strength, and I think that it worked.
I do believe you're correct. In 1985, Mikhail Gorbachev was appointed General Secretary of the Communist Party. How did that affect your expectations for improved relationships?
As soon as Mikhail became secretary, he sent back word that he would be willing to negotiate. He sent back word that he felt that things had to change. He even offered the possibility of negotiation on reduction of nuclear weapons. I knew right away that this was a guy that we could speak with and that he understood that if the future of Russia depended upon them changing how they worked with the rest of the world. I was very pleased. Our agents had told us that they felt that we would be able to speak with him, that he would be a more reasonable partner in negotiation. I was actually very happy when I saw that he was appointed General Secretary.
Why did you think that you could trust that negotiation with the Soviet Union?
Well, if you remember, one of my comments was always trust but verify. I knew that the Soviets had a long history of breaking agreements, and I knew that often there was very little that you could trust in what they said. I felt good about Gorbachev. I always thought that I was a pretty good judge of people, and from what I heard, I felt that he could possibly be trusted. We met very rapidly into my first or into my second term as president, and our first meeting went very well. I thought that he was indeed an individual that I could talk to. He showed a willingness to discuss many different things, and I came away from that first meeting in a very positive feeling. We arranged to have more meetings, and we actually set up a schedule where I would be going to Moscow, he would be coming to the United States. We needed to break that door between the Soviet Union and the rest of the world. I know that Gorbachev opened the door a crack, and I felt that we needed to open it the rest of the way, and I think that we were incredibly successful.
Do you believe the downfall of the Soviet Union could have been possible without Mikhail Gorbachev?
It was inevitable that at some time in the future, the Soviet Union would have not been able to continue to fund the great expenditures for their military. There would have been a time that communism, pure communism in the Soviet Union would have failed. Communism always fails. It's just a matter of time. What Mikhail did was he allowed the Russian country to enter the free world and to end the Soviet Union and the evil empire that had existed before he came in. Gorbachev was an incredible mover and shaker. He accelerated the end of the Cold War. He brought about negotiations on many, many different fronts. He invited investment in the Soviet Union. He truly laid the foundation. Sadly, many people after him weakened that foundation, but he deserved the Nobel Peace Prize. He was one of the greatest peacemakers in the history of the earth.
How would you handle what's taking place in Russia today, and especially with the war in Ukraine?
Russia has retrogressed. They have behaved in a manner which historically they have done in the past. The mistake was made when they came into the Crimea. They should have been resisted. I know the Ukrainian government at that time was very weak. They did not have the military ways to do this. But when they came into Crimea, the world should have joined together and showed them that it is not possible to expand their borders through military actions. They needed to know that there would be a strong reaction to what they did. I highly approve of the fact that we are currently giving the Ukrainian army weapons, modern weapons that they can use. The Ukrainians have proved that after all the years of graft and corruption of the Russian government, that the military is pretty much of a paper tiger. They do have thousands of nuclear weapons. There's a question as to whether they have been able to maintain those weapons and how many will truly work if they attempted to use them. I think that NATO showing a strong presence and a very, very clear warning that the use of nuclear weapons will be met with an incredibly immense response. I think they are doing the best they can do at this point. Putin should have been stopped early in his career. His military adventures should have been met with force. He thought in his mind he could get away with doing anything he wanted to do. He found out that the Ukrainian army is far better than any abilities that they ever conceived of. All in all, I think that the United States is handling it much in the manner that I would.
Okay, now we're going to switch over to where I ask a question and each one of you answer it. My first question is, do either of you believe that Vladimir Putin will resort to using nuclear weapons? Secretary Gorbachev, would you please begin?
Having lived in Russia, I can tell you that there is no greater ego in anyone than that of blood the and than that of Vladimir Putin. He has gained total power over the country. He has bought off the oligarchs, all the important people in the country have been bought off. He's built a huge Secret Service. Where his weakness is probably with the military itself. I know now that since he has started to draft so many hundreds of thousands of the Russian men, that there's going to be a great resistance in what he's trying to do. From over here, I believe that there is no way that he can possibly win this war now. He has lost tens of thousands of men. He cannot make up his equipment in the military. But you have to look at him as a rat. When a rat is in a cor is cornered, it will try to bite and to fight and use anything that he has. I do not think those around Putin will allow the use of nuclear weapons. I think they know that that will be their destruction. He may try a tactical nuke to test what NATO will do. He is no longer a rational person. He is now fighting for his own existence. I do believe that there is a remote possibility that he would use nuclear weapons. President Reagan. I have watched from over here as he's gained power. I realized immediately that he was capable of doing anything that Stalin would have done. The only difference between Putin and Stalin is that he adapted to more modern techniques. In my mind, there is a distinct possibility that he would use a tactical nuclear weapon to test to see how NATO would respond. I know, as I watch, that NATO's response would be very strong. I think that the military leaders now fully understand that Putin has to be stopped at all costs. I do not think that those around Putin would allow a general nuclear strike because they realize that it would not only be their deaths, but the deaths of their family as the free countries of the world responded in strength. One thing that Putin does understand is that our nuclear weapons work and his may not.
What do each of you see as the future of Russia? President Reagan, would you please begin?
Russia is going to be economically ruined through these sanctions. They are biting. Inflation is rampant already. Countries have withdrawn. Unemployment is very high. I think in the future, there will be someone step forward that attempts to bring sanity to the country. They will attempt to help the rest of the world, help them rebuild. There's going to be much bitterness after this from the democracies of the world and from NATO. There was absolutely no reason for this to take place, and there is no reason for the Russian military to destroy infrastructure, hospitals, kill innocents. There are many, many war crimes being committed in the Ukraine at this time by Russia. The world, I don't think, is going to stand by and allow them to get away with this. Russia will not be able to win this war. The weapons that the West has been giving to Ukraine are far more effective than anything Russia can even conceive of. Whether Putin totally understands it or not, I do not know. I do think that his mental stability has been affected by this. Russia is going to lose the war. They are going to be economically ruined by the sanctions. They will need a very strong leader to step in, just as Mr. Gorbachev did. They are going to have to beg the rest of the world for help. China will not stand by them, especially if they use a nuclear weapon. The war crimes that they're creating has turned off many of their allies. I see no way that Russia can win this war. Secretary Gorbachev. I totally agree. Putin has made incredible mistakes. He is usually much better at making decisions. He has always been a strong man. He has always tested the other countries. And as President Reagan said, when he got away with taking the Crimea, he decided that there would be nothing to stop him. Russia is a very poor country in reality. They are going to be hurt immensely by this. I do not see anyone in the immediate future of the Russian government that can step in and try to mediate with the West as I did. Russia is creating an immense amount of animosity throughout the world. It is going to take them generations to rebuild what they had and to return to where they were. My heart cries for Russia. Russia, I love the country, but sometimes I despise the leadership.
Yeah. China is emerging as an economic and military powerhouse that wants to be the strongest nation in the world. What do each of you see as the future of China? President Reagan, would you please go first?
China is a definite problem for the future of the world. They have grown economically. They are putting trillions of dollars into their military. They now have over 300 nuclear weapons. They have a long-term plan in which they feel that they can gain world domination. China has plans far into the future. China plans generations ahead. They've done this forever. Their leadership is very brutal. Their leadership is very directed. Their leadership thinks that they know how they can accomplish total domination into the future. Now, as I watch over here, I also realize that China has many problems. They are taking over countries that are used to making democratic decisions. The people of China have been brainwashed for generations. They are totally reliant upon the government. There are billions of people in China. China has the largest population in the world. Now, along with that comes the problem of feeding them, feeding your people, the problem of basically controlling your people. Their economy, in many ways, is having problems. They have overextended their building market. They have done many things. There's currently a political upheaval taking place in China. It is not public, but those of us over here can observe things that are taking place. I think that they made a major mistake when they agreed to help President Putin. I think that China totally misunderstood the strength of the Russian military. Now that Putin is being defeated, it will create problems for the current leadership in China. They will have to make decisions how they want to move forward. The issue with Taiwan is also a great problem for China. There are many that would prefer military action against Taiwan, but the fact that the West has stood strong for Ukraine indicates that there would be strong Western help for Taiwan as well. China also has a problem with their younger generations. For many years, they restricted the birth rate to a family only being able to have one child. There are many areas now where they do not have enough young people. The young people are the key to the future in China, same as here in the United States. So there's many internal problems of China, but in the long run, I think they are our greatest enemy, Secretary Gorbachev. I agree with much of what President Reagan has said. As a resident of Russia, I watched as the relationships between Russia and China would change through the years. China, I think, now has the opportunity to basically enslave Russia. The only hope that Russia has to win this war that they've started is for China to come to their aid. I do not see that happening. I do not see the Chinese government wanting to get involved in a direct confrontation with the West. Keep in mind that China has always avoided, or modern China has avoided direct confrontation. They would rather try to defeat you economically. They have a large program of helping countries throughout the world to build friendship. They would rather beat you through trade. The United States is very dependent in many areas on Chinese trade. China has a lot of control over the United States. They have been investing in many of your companies. They have been purchasing land in the United States. They have been influencing elections. They have been doing many, many things to undermine the United States. How this rapid change in world politics and in what is taking place in Ukraine. This will have a great ripple down effect through countries such as China, India, North Korea, many of the rogue countries in the world. These countries are all seeing that for the first time the West is totally united. This is the first time you've seen them totally united since the Second World War. China will definitely continue to attempt world domination. As President Reagan said, the question will be whether they can control their internal politics, economy, and policies. If the Chinese military was to ever become totally disenchanted with the Chinese government, they could take over and you could see a military coup. What would happen after that would be anybody's guess. There's much up in the air right now. The leaders of Russia and China must make some very, very difficult decisions. The failure of Russia and Ukraine has affected China It will destroy Russia, basically. And the rest of the world will be able to get a clear idea of how Chinese policies will change to adapt these major occurrences.
Do either of you gentlemen see any hope for denuclearization and world peace? Secretary Gorbachev, would you please begin?
Sadly, I don't. You've got countries like North Korea that will have no part of denuclearization. You have other countries such as India, Pakistan. These countries are never going to give up their weapons. It was something that President Reagan and I had hoped that we could discuss, but when we discussed it, it was before nuclear proliferation throughout the world. There's so much hatred in the world that I don't see much hope for world peace in the near future. Possibly something will take place that will bring it about, but denuclearization and world peace are truly two of the most difficult concepts. President Reagan. There's so much hatred in the world today. Today, the government of the United States, the two parties hate each other. There are many citizens of the United States that hate each other. Russia basically hates the rest of the world. China, who knows what China hates? They want to dominate, so they will hate anyone that stands in their way. Mikhail is correct. Many of these countries are never going to give up their weapons in the short term. It will take great politicians in the future. And it will take generations. It may be possible, but you are truly many generations away.
Okay, gentlemen, thank you so much. It's been an excellent, excellent interview this evening, the two of you. Would you each please, I'd like you to have a final message. Just please let Barry know who will speak first.
I would like Mikhail to speak first. I want to thank you for allowing me to speak. I lived in Russia. I just recently passed, so I understand a lot of what is taking place. The current government of Russia has made my beautiful country a pariah. Hopefully, there will be a time that the people understand what has happened. There will be a time that they listen to reason, and there will be a time that they overthrow the oligarchs and the authoritarian government that Putin has created. Sadly, he has created many, many allies. Now, that is not to say that those allies can turn into his enemy if they can gain the power that he had. I fear that Mr. Putin will have a relatively short lifespan. Who takes over for him is questionable. There are many hawks that could possibly be even worse than he is. The West has got to keep up a strong front. They have got to make sure that Russia understands that any aggressions will be met with power far stronger than what they are capable of doing. I hope the world peace comes. I've tried my best. I spent my life trying to make things better for my mother country. Hopefully somebody else can do better than I did, President Reagan. There's no doubt that these are some of the most troubled times that the Western countries, the democracies, have ever faced. They have responded with power. Russia has created their own worst enemy now. They feared NATO before, and all they have done is strengthen NATO with their actions. It is inevitable that Russia is going to lose the war. If they decide to use technical nukes, they will lose it much more rapidly because NATO will step in, and that will be the end of the Russian military. Hopefully, the politicians in Russia will want to save their lives and will not stoop to a nuclear strike. If they do, Russia will be nothing but ashes. It is a difficult time. You need strong leadership in the White House. I hope that in the next election, the people elect a person that is capable of standing up to all the problems that the United States has to face. It's a time where politicians have to compromise, they have to get together, and they have to strengthen the country. I had strengthened the country the best I could. I think that I had good effects. We ended the Cold War. Without Secretary Gorbachev, it could have not happened. It would have happened sometime with some future president, but it would not have happened as rapidly. I want to thank you for having me back. I know that there are many problems all of you are facing. Be strong. Help others, and make sure that the politicians understand that you are at your limits, that you are not going to take this any longer, that you're going to need to step up, and that you're going to need to act like your founding fathers wanted them to act. So thank you for allowing us to come through.
Thank you so much for joining us. I very much enjoyed this very educational evening.
Okay. Thank you, guys. That was wonderful. Next week, we're going to be chatting with the spirit of the founding father and second president of the United States, John Adams. He was with us in one of our roundtable discussions, and I promised him he could come back, and next week is his time to be with us. It's going to be very interesting. He's going to be able to give great insights into the founding of our country, and he's going to give great insights into what he's observed since he's been on the other side. You can submit questions, suggestions for future guests through our email, channelinghistoryonparax@gmail.com. All of my books are available on Amazon. Some of them are on Kindle. I have a new one coming out the middle of October. It's called Modern Messages of God. I hope you support it. Yeah, it'll be in Kindle, soft cover, and it's going to be priced so everybody can have a copy should they wish. All of our shows are available on our YouTube channel. It's in my name, Barry Strom. If you want to download them, you can go to podomatic.com and search Channeling History. I hope that you enjoyed our show tonight. I want to thank you for listening. And please join us Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time on the Parax Radio Network.
And I would like to thank you as well for joining us. I hope you all have a wonderful week. God bless every one of you.